Hey everybody, Shane Presley here with Rock Paper Podcast. I want to welcome Prosperity Counseling and Wellness to the show. They are a local St. Louis-based therapy practice that specializes in substance abuse and general counseling. They offer group and individual therapy that is tailored to meet your needs. If you or a loved one is struggling with substance abuse or just feels like they need support, contact Prosperity Counseling and Wellness at 636-515-1230. You can find more information at their website at prosperitystl.com. If you're struggling out there or need somebody to talk to, reach out. Prosperity Counseling and Wellness, right here in St. Louis. Hey everybody, this is Shane Presley here with Rock Paper Podcast. I want to tell you about my friends over at Music Record Shop. Find them right here in St. Louis, Missouri, in the Grand Center area, in the Dot Zach building. Go over, check it out, come by and visit them. You can go by or visit online, shop 24/7 at musicrecordshop.com. Be sure to follow along with Music Record Shop on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. They're giving away tickets and records and all kinds of fun stuff throughout the day. So get involved, shop local, support local business. They got a lot of cool stuff going on. So you can also reach out if you have a local band you want to get your records on the shelf over there. Reach out and see how you can make that happen. Again, musicrecordshop.com. This episode of Rock Paper Podcast is brought to you by Gigabit Rocks. Check it all out at gigabitrocks.com. They're one of the best online tools for meeting artists regionally and nationwide, and they want to help you plan your next tour. It's essentially a great tool for networking and linking up with artists all over the country, and then they can help you pack your next show in their city. So reach out on gigabitrocks.com. Check them all out on your social media, your Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And whether you want a gigabit more or a gigabit less, one thing's for sure, Gigabit Rocks.
Podcast is kind of like a radio show that's not on the radio. It's on the internet. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's also like my mom. It makes it sound more confusing, doesn't it? It sounds like this.
This is Jerry from the Potomac Accord.
This is Joe from the Potomac Accord.
Hi, this is Andy from the Potomac Accord. You're listening to Rock Paper Podcast with Shane at rockpaperpodcast.com.
Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast. Rock, 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 rock Paper Podcast, y'all.
Here we go. Hey, everybody. Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast, coming to you from St. Louis, Missouri. Hanging out today with the guys of Potomac Accord. Did I say that right?
Potomac Accord.
All right, there we go. Sorry, guys. I can't read pointing at this poster. But, yeah, welcome to the show, guys.
Thanks for having us. Yeah, yes.
You guys want to introduce yourselves properly so everybody knows your voice at home?
I'm Jerry Green. I play the drums.
I'm Joe Willis, and I am on bass.
I'm Andy Ben, and I do everything else.
Everything else, huh?
Besides those two.
Right. Yeah, this is fun, man, because like I've been doing the show. I told you guys I've been doing the show for a while now, but it's like I still love that I'm still discovering new music. I mean, you guys have been at it for a while, but like still new to me, and like and that's what is fun, that I'm always like discovering new bands in town that I may not have known of previously and stuff. So
it's okay, it's still new to me too.
But yeah, this is cool. You guys got a brand new record, we got a big release party, we got a lot of things happening right now, so I thought it would be fun to get the opportunity to hang out and talk about all that stuff. So I don't know, so like I said, I don't know much about the group. You guys want to kind of share some stories about how this lineup came to be and how the band formed and all that fun stuff? And
So we formed in 2000, so it's been a long, long, long time.
Yeah.
So the fact that you've never heard of us is...
I know.
Discouraging.
Well, you've never heard of us until more recently since we've been... Yeah.
I know the band name. I've definitely seen the band name. You guys played a lot of shows with a lot of my friends.
But I haven't been, you know, able to see you guys live or right. pick up a record, so. But yeah.
Well, we used to play a lot more out of town.
Right.
So that was kind of our focus. We weren't here to, when we first got together, Andy and I met in the music scene and playing in different bands, shared interests and a sort of a desire to work in the same path, like kind of a quieter approach, more subtle, was very welcoming to me. I was playing in a lot of like heavier, hard rock and noisy bands, and Andy was kind of doing the same thing too.
I was kind of doing that like 90s post rock stuff, but it still had like a really like angular, you know, slashy kind of distorty sound to it. So yeah.
And Andy's friend from high school, Chris, our original bassist, they were playing together, and then I jumped in, and that's how we started. But we like within a month, I think, of our first practice, we played Louisville, Kentucky. So. I mean, it was literally like that soon, I think.
Yeah.
So we didn't have a desire to take over St. Louis by any means, you know. And we've always found a better reception outside of town, too, back then especially. Mm-hmm. These days we're playing around town more than anything, maybe more out of other reasons, too. But, yeah, the sound and everything has changed quite a bit since then, too.
Yeah. So, how do we feel like the sound has evolved from when you guys started back then to compared to what where this new record is getting ready to come out and stuff?
I think like Jerry was saying, we intentionally went from like being in aggressive bands to trying to be more with a very strong intent going into it of being like more introspective and. Trying to actually kind of like push listeners into a different direction, and us as musicians, I guess as people have kind of come and go throughout the band, and then just by the natural evolution of time, we've also kind of questioned, you know, what we're doing with ourselves and how we're doing it, I guess. So it's forced us to rock a little bit more nowadays, because you don't want to just kind of sit back and sit in the corner and be real quiet as you get older.
Right.
I don't know how you feel.
Well, that's. The big, it used to kind of, you know, at one point it was great. The crowds were super respectful because our stuff was like super quiet, you know, like a brush on a ride type quiet, you know, ping of a piano. And I just kind of tired of, you know, it was beard scratching music, you know. Yeah, everybody sat. They liked it. You know, it seemed like, oh man, nobody, you know, there would be like no reception after the songs. And then we'd get off the stage and people were like, oh my God, that was awesome. And so it was just. This weird, we didn't, there was no exchange, you know, so like over time we've wanted to engage the audience more and actually try to elicit somebody to get up and dance or at least move or at least come towards the stage, that type of thing too. So that's, I think, a part of it, just to become a little closer to the audience.
I think one of the most difficult things as a musician is to try to get someone in the audience to uncross their arms or to get their hands out of their pockets. And,
sure. It's the indie rock dance,
and trust me, we're all guilty of that, everyone in this room. But yeah, when you know, to see someone actually like not have their arms crossed and not have their hands in their pockets and bobbing their head and possibly moving something of their body lower than their neck is really fun sure. to see yeah, as a player.
It's true of the scene. You go to any indie rock show and you see that, though. It's just everybody's just kind of a little bit of nodding.
And all of us sit around and complain about it, but we all do it,
as
spectators.
Right.
It's one of the greatest mysteries, unsolved mysteries of the universe.
All right. Yeah.
Robert Stack could do a whole show on it.
Yeah, man. I think that's the first unsolved mysteries reference on the show, so that was a pretty good one. Mm-hmm. Yeah, man.
We'll aim higher after this.
More to come.
Yeah. I know. I agree. I think I try to get up there and get engaged. But there is some, like, there's that approach, like, you know, kind of making your music do it, and which I feel like people should do. But then, like, there's other people that kind of get up there and, like, start screaming at people for not, like, getting into their music, mm-hmm. you know? They're always, like... You know, come on, clap your head, you know, or whatever, like that kind of stuff. And it's like,
yeah,
that's not really, it's kind of counterproductive that way, you know, like it's like, because all that's going to do is push people away, I think.
I couldn't force anything.
Right.
The first show Joe played with us, he started screaming at the audience. Right. And we were both aghast.
I was screaming at you guys, too. You had lied to me. You told me all sorts of stuff. No.
He was throwing his beer at people.
I think I had my back, actually, partially to the audience, until my wife was like, turn around.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you did play most of that show with your back facing
it's
the drum set.
It's a stage, yeah. So.
Well, back in the day, the back to the audience thing was like kind of a cool move.
Right. And, it's one of my first bands, a guitar player.
And this is, you know, 20 years ago.
Well, Joan of Arc, yeah. Zurich, he stands the entire show with his back in the early days. So.
Yeah.
Some bands do the shadow approach where they're just silhouettes. Right. But, yeah.
It's like, I think... they talk about like Prince, like did a whole show in the dark or something like that. Or
you can't say that guy's name. Come on.
Oh yeah, sorry.
Wait, yeah.
The artist formerly known as.
Yes, no, he's immortal. The Prince. He's the immortal one.
He obviously didn't ask for that because he wasn't here. You asked for it.
Right.
So he set that one up.
Yeah.
But yeah, man. So we got the new record, and I kind of feel like what you guys were talking about, kind of, you know, getting into some of the more rock and stuff there on that, like, because at the end we talked about wanting to play This Is War, and I feel like, you know, the record kind of has a vibe, but then like right at the end, This Is War feels definitely a lot more aggressive and a lot more, you know, it's got that a little more punch to it, and then being that it's about war, you know, like by the title, you know, just like feel like it's appropriate to have a little more aggression and stuff in there and stuff, but I don't know. I really like that track a lot, and you guys want to talk about how it came to be, how This Is War?
Yeah, I think with that track was, in particular, us trying to write something that harkens back to kind of just being a traditional rock band, but having lyrics that are somewhat more insightful, because it's more about the conflict of just internal turmoil and internal emotions within, mm-hmm. not so much like
right
combat outside.
Sure.
One thing I like about that song a lot is that while it is bombastic and fairly loud and has distortion, and it's got some nice harmonies, but it ends very quietly. It just mm-hmm. ends completely without drums or without bass. It's just like a little guitar fade out. So I really like that part of it quite a bit.
Night and night.
And it's probably the most straight ahead rhythmically that I've done in the band, between that and Artist Right, I think. So, and it's funny when you, so we spend a lot of time writing our songs, and we use a lot of time signatures and things like this and try to challenge ourselves, make it interesting for ourselves, but all at the same time trying to make it listenable. So that songs like that, when you're just pumping out a basic four on the floor rock beat, you know, or whatever, and the bass is just thumping, and you know, it's funny when you spend probably half the time writing that song, and then people are just like, "Oh my god, I love that last song." Yeah. You're like, "But what about the one before that? Did you hear all that crazy stuff?" We're like, "Oh yeah, I think that was cool." Yeah. So it's that's one of those, actually a blatant attempt, like what Andy was saying, at really for us to really engage the audience. You know, I think too is like that. That's a perfect example of where we were heading with all this. And I think that was one of maybe the first that we wrote in the kind of the new phase of the band. Is that?
Yeah, we took a brief hiatus, and then when we regrouped, yeah, that was one of the, probably one of the first like four songs in that bunch. Sure. Yeah, but that song has elements of where we're also experimenting a little, like it has a fade in and it has a fade out. So it's got some kind of creative mixing in there in the way we did it, I think.
Sure.
To where it's not just like balls to the wall all the time,
right?
In my opinion,
I feel like that's probably what a lot of artists can kind of echo what you guys are saying. Like, you know, people will spend like months, sometimes whatever, trying to write a song, you know, and all of a sudden, like the one they write in 5-10 minutes is like the the hit. You know, like that's the one that's sometimes that simplicity, where just a catchy little thing, and it's like that's the one people respond to. But then it's like the one, like you're saying, you put actual, all trying to make, you know, all this, you know, artistry, you know, and all the different stuff. You're trying to do some actual, show off what you can do. People seem to kind of overlook sometimes.
Yeah, exactly. That's a perfect example of that, really.
As a listener, when you say this, the songs that stick with you forever are the songs that take a while to get to fully appreciate and recognize, though. Like the hits, you're like, oh, I like those songs. Like those are good, or they're really catchy. But the greatest songs ever usually take some time to discover and understand, I think. So people might like that song, back to Jerry's point. We're like, well, what about the one right before it, where it's you know, got all kinds of like craziness going on that just is awesome? And they're like, well, it's confusing. Well, if you listen to it 9 times, maybe you'll get it, and you know, but maybe it'll stick with you longer.
Yeah. Well, this is, like I said, this is off the brand new record, Beams. We'll have we've got a big release party, and come on out and pick up your copy of the record. That'll be Thursday, October 19th, 7 p.m. sharp, and that'll be at the
library time.
Yeah,
let's turn this for you so you can read
there
it.
You go. At the St. Louis Central Library downtown auditorium. Yeah, I haven't been over there, but I mean, is that a, I guess it's a pretty cool space.
Oh, it's amazing. The downtown library, if you have never been, I mean, it's... So people get a little confused. There used to be a club in Sealer called The Library. Yeah. It is not at this club in Sealer called The Library.
Yeah. I think that's... that since took on a few different names.
Yeah,
it's something it's else taken right several roles.
Yeah. But yeah, I used to go. I've had some friends that played over there before. And
yeah, I don't think they're booking too many rock shows there.
Yeah.
They probably have some cabaret shows and stuff there right now, which is... Great,
right?
But yeah, definitely not there.
Yeah, it's at the St. Louis City Public Library downtown. Yeah. It's a beautiful, beautiful building. The architecture is amazing. They redid it all and have a brand new theater down in the basement that is phenomenal. The
theater is built for, it's a listening environment. Mm-hmm. It's really nice, really impressive. Yeah, so
it's seats, kind of stadium style seating. It looks like a small auditorium where you would see like a symphony or a rock band called the Potomac Accord on Thursday, October 19th.
Yeah. And we're the only rock band on the bill this season. I guess they run the season like 6 or 9 months or something like that throughout the year.
A show a month.
Yeah, and then they book various styles of music.
Like Kim Massey just played there a few days ago, and then I think we're the follow-up.
Yeah, they had Jeremiah Johnson, I think, blues and stuff like that. So we're the only like rock band on it, which is kind of cool, too.
Yeah, they reached out to us, and we decided to make an event out of it. So We're pretty excited.
Yeah, just an evening with you guys, right? No,
that's it.
No,
yeah,
opener or nothing. So
no, the largest complaints we get from older people are that shows on the weekends happen too late.
Yeah.
Some people say, "Why do you charge a cover?" Some people say, "I don't know." They don't feel safe going to certain parts of town. So we factored in all three of those things, and we're like, "This is a safe place. It's on a weekday, and it starts early, and it's free." So we're sick
no
of the excuses.
Place than downtown right now.
There are no more excuses.
We haven't been done.
Well, the good part is there's no Blues game, so you can park 3 feet from the door and run. You're as fast as you humanly want to the door.
Or you can help us load equipment out, and we'll keep your bag. We'll watch your back.
But so yeah, that was part of our factoring into all of this. We're like, you don't have to pay anything. It's on a weekday. It's early, 7 o'clock. It'll be over by 8 o'clock. So
literally, by
try to invent one more excuse because we think we've solved them all.
Right,
and all ages.
And you know who you are, people. We're talking.
And all ages, so if
all ages.
You don't have to worry about getting a babysitter, bring the kids.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And everybody who shows up, every single person who shows up gets a copy of the album for free, and a free sticker and a download code to where they can have the music digitally for however long that lasts.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's a deal, you know. Yeah. You're getting a rock show and a free record and everything else. So, yeah, come on out and have a good time with them. You guys also wanted to share another tune called Rendering. Anything around this one?
The Rendering.
The Rendering.
It's big on his article.
There's a lot of the's.
It has to be formal here.
Yeah.
He's actually known as D. Andy.
Yeah. Anything around the Rendering?
Tales?
Gosh, it's been a while since we wrote this song. But this one actually sort of tempo-wise goes back to kind of where we came from. So it kind of sort of combines to me where we're going and where we were from at the same time. Because it's definitely a patient song. And it's a quite a long song, too. We used to, like, if we... You know, when we were writing songs, clock in at under 6 minutes, we're like, oh, we need more parts in this song. So the Rendering is definitely over that. But it also has the more vibrant, loud guitar-based chorus in it. And it actually has one of our only, like, open sections to sort of jam in, meaning that we... Normally, everything is written pretty much absolute note for note,
right,
that we do. And this section is intended to be kind of whatever we're feeling. It's definitely written around vibes, or vamps, I should say. But it can vary from night to night, for sure.
Live, specifically.
Yeah.
Yeah, like live.
Live,
it's
for sure.
Open,
yeah,
open
it's recorded, so it's not going to change.
It's totally jamming on the recording.
In live, we take it like 20 minutes or something.
No, we did actually record it. We didn't. That wasn't all scripted, but it isn't as exciting and crazy as we get live, for sure. We've been doing it for so long.
And it's still pretty much a set amount of time in terms
the
of
the time is completely set.
Like that. Yeah. So I think I one time live tried to stretch it an extra, like, kind of.
There's been some times where Jerry was really feeling it and started rocking, added a couple extra measures in there.
Not in a while. back in the Guido era, maybe we did that. It's been a long time.
Yeah.
That is the only one really that gets an extension from the album. We'll be right back.
Yeah, this song is, that was a perfect metaphor or description, though. It's like the metaphor of like the arch, like in St. Louis, like it's the passing, it's the gateway to both the old and the new for us, I think. I never really thought of it that way, but it truly is, where it's got some of reflections of the old stuff and then reflections of kind of where we were at that time and kind of a little bit of hint to kind of where we were going. Because it does have like a really rocking chorus. It's got that jamming, like kind of this jammy little improv part right after the first chorus that we never ever have done in the past. It's got some weird time signatures in there. It's got some long pauses, some long holds. Yeah.
Yeah.
We actually originally wrote this song with one of our friends named Mark Eberhardt, and he actually was the first guy who actually put vocals down on it, and I would say, to his credit, he is a better melodic singer than Jerry is, but but he's also much more of like a screamer, but he really tried to sing.
I don't know, bring it on, Mark.
He really tried to sing kind of melodic on this song, and he passed on a lot of ideas to me after he stepped down, so I credit him for kind of coming up with some of the really original vocal ideas on this song. So
yeah, pretty nice.
Yeah, good guy.
Where'd you guys record the record at?
Sawhorse Studios, yeah. Over in South City in St. Louis.
Yeah.
Jason McIntyre, a great sound engineer.
It's a great studio.
Studio.
Yeah.
Friend of the show, good too. Experience. He's been on here, yeah.
And he's,
yeah.
He's a good
Highly
good
recommend
guy.
It, for sure.
Yeah.
He always, what's his nickname? He told us this long story about when he was a kid, about how he couldn't shut up, and they called him, like, Chatterbox or something. I don't remember. Anyway, he's a great guy. He's very efficient. He always wears a hat.
Yep.
And has a tremendous studio over on Virginia Avenue.
Yeah.
Go there now.
Yeah, he's done a lot of my favorites, like Aaron Kamm and the One Drops and Funky Butt Brass and all these. So it's quite of course the Beams brand new record. But yeah, he's a talented dude, and I'm glad to been able to become friends with him over doing the show and stuff. So yeah.
Well, also we should add Glenn Burley also helped engineer some of the album. So we did like all the bass tracks at the meat of the album at Sawhorse, and then we went over to our friend Glenn Burley's house, who has a studio at his home. He's easy to contact too.
Mm-hmm.
Glenn Burley.
Percussion overdubs and
we do
keys and
a lot of the layers over his house, and then we went and finished it at Sawhorse and then mixed it at Sawhorse with Jason. So both Jason and Glenn
and mastered it
equally critical. And then mastered at with Brad Sarno at Blue Jade Audio, also another great guy. He's over in Webster. So Brad Sarno,
yeah,
Blue Jade.
What,
we're really doing some promos right here.
Yeah.
It gives us a discount in the future.
Right. Some
commercials.
Yeah. What you mentioned kind of taking a hiatus and stuff. What was that? Is life kind of getting in the way, or what was going on there?
Hey, it was really simple. I just moved to Chicago for a few years. So, I just got a job offer to move up there for just a little while. Nothing crazy. Mm-hmm. And then just came back. And then missed playing music with my friends, especially with Jerry.
Right.
So Jerry and I have been musical partners since 2000. I definitely missed that.
Yeah.
But when he came back, though, there was really no intent to really revive the Potomac Accord. Maybe it was in the back of the head, but it wasn't really discussed. So he was playing our other friend Mark, who we mentioned earlier, who I used to play with in bands. And actually, you two kind of got it going. And then I kind of fell in, and then I think Mark wanted to go more over like a straight ahead rock direction, as like some of the songs that we were discussed that he was involved with, and then our combo has sort of twisted it back into the Potomac Accord feel, you know, for whatever reason. Then Mark kind of stepped aside, and then we went on with the band from there. So
yeah, so this is the first release since reforming the band, right?
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah. Actually, since 2003.
Yeah.
So we released an album in 2001, our second album in 2003, our third album now in 2017, and then we're writing a fourth one right now as we speak.
Well, we had some. What about the French release?
Yeah, but those were. I wouldn't call those like.
There's kind of odd full length records in there. Yeah, not a full length.
Those were like had live cuts and remixes, and we've done some like one off tracks for like samplers,
compilations and stuff. Right.
Compilations, yeah.
Yeah, is that you guys said you kind of formed a fan base, you know, around the country, doing a lot of touring when you were younger? Is that something we still want to do? I mean, want to take this record on the road and see how people respond to it, or is that or things change now?
Do we want, or will it happen? You know, yeah, I think there's other. I don't think to the extent that we used to go out of town quite a bit, a couple times a month, really. Right. And we'd go pretty far on a weekend. But now, I mean, we're still looking at booking some regional shows in, you know, Chicago and Nashville, Kansas City, things like that.
Yeah, Louisville, Cincinnati.
Yep. Yeah, there's a lot of great cities that are close, that are good music cities that we have connections with. So we probably will be reaching out pretty soon to do that sort of thing next year.
That's a lot what comes up on this show, too, just how, you know, how ideal St. Louis kind of being in the middle of the map here, how ideal it is a tour out of. You know, the fact that we can hit a bunch of those markets, you know, in a couple-hour drive on a weekend and hit a couple of shows and stuff. And so be kind of cool to get out there and, again, get out there with a new record and letting people know you're still doing this.
Yeah. We need a vehicle.
Yeah, we used to have a van, so that afforded us the ability to tour.
We had a van
constantly.
And a pickup truck.
Yeah. Yeah, we did. We've done multiple tours where we did like over, 1.5 to 2 weeks, where they were pretty extensive, and that's afforded us the ability
East Coast and West Coast.
Yeah, I mean that's allowed us to go to nearly every state in the country, just about the lower 48. So that would be amazing if we could figure out a way to make it happen. I can't say one way or the other if it will.
Yeah,
but I don't see any reason why we won't get out there and do some of those closer cities, like Jerry said.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, is that what, like...
We're playing a huge headlining show in Keokuk, Missouri. Just saying, no, coming up. No, just kidding.
Oh, yeah.
Festus.
We are playing in Festus not too far from now.
We are playing in Festus.
It's out of town, technically.
Right. Yeah, that's another kind of thing. We kind of joke about how, you know, between, going down to Festus or to... like Stagger Inn and Edwardsville or whatever, you know, there's a couple of different things around where you can almost like tour St. Louis. Like there's a bunch of different little pockets besides just downtown, you know, St. Louis. So there's a lot of things going on around town too that you can kind of spread the good word.
And we are looking at it seems like branching out from kind of the norm we've done the last year and a half or so. We haven't played a show in a little while, but
yeah.
Yeah, we've kind of been headquartered up. Are you talking about how we've been?
The norm being the tap room.
Yeah, we've been headquartered up at the Schlafly Tap Room. I mean, it's a freaking awesome venue.
Thank you, Brett.
Yeah. Thank you, Brett Underwood, indeed.
Yeah.
They treat you well, but there's also a lot of great venues here in St. Louis right now that we'd like to support and also, I guess, play at.
Right.
So we've got several shows booked right after our release party to kind of hit those places up and give them what we can and them as well to us.
Yeah. Well, and it seems like you guys are a fan of some of Schlafly's products as well. So I'm sure that doesn't hurt to have a show there and stuff in the tap room when they got some...
Always a benefit.
Some beers coming in.
Yeah, we told Schlafly if they would give us their Schlafly van, we would go on a national tour across the country.
There
and
you
then,
go.
We would, and then we would bring their product with us and then just
sing
like
the
pass it out at shows.
And wear the shirts, and the merchandise.
And drink it in the car while we're driving.
Well,
I'm not kidding. So, that's a great idea.
We did talk about doing a brewery tour, actually, which I guess it still could possibly happen. Go to Michigan, there's quite a few breweries that we really like up there.
Yeah.
Chicago.
Yeah.
But,
there's a lot going on here in St. Louis for beer. Like, I've kind of learned a lot. I mean, I don't drink it. I've seen a lot of microbrewery stuff pop up and a lot of people, you know, kind of even home brewery things or whatever and people doing different stuff with it. But there's a lot going on for brewing here in St. Louis right now.
It's a renaissance.
Yeah.
It's exciting times for sure. Yeah, St. Louis is one of the best cities in the country for beer right now, for sure.
Yeah.
A lot going on.
Yeah. But we got one more we wanted to share. And this is Reset, right? Or is it The Reset?
Is
this the Rock Paper Podcast?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just Reset.
Yeah.
Correct.
Throwing you a curve there.
Yeah. Again, this is also available on Beams. And, anything
else? Reset was one of the first songs where we actually intentionally went to the studio with the idea of manipulating the song to where it wouldn't sound exactly identical to the way that we would play it live. So it's the first time where we actually decided up front that we would write a song and then slightly modify it through studio trickery, I guess you could say. So we just added some different layers onto the recording. We added a really sort of like odd timing vocal effect to the recording, which we could replicate live, and we'll probably work on that. But we knew that this is how the end product was going to be, so we wrote a song with the intent of making it sound different once it was on recording. Yeah. So that was a nice kind of way to push ourselves, you know, in one new direction, I guess, to write a song that we were intentionally going to kind of mess with a little bit, you know, once we got into the studio.
Yeah. Was that about the only one that kind of took form in the studio, or did you guys have a lot of this pretty well?
Well, we knew
was written. I mean, the nuts and bolts of it were there. But as Andy said, like, the layers came about through effects and things like that too. And we've always layered our songs. I mean, we were a three piece when we would have like 15 plus layers on songs, you know. So there'd be extra synth parts, guitars, vocals, percussion, everything. We've never been too concerned about, you know, we always just kind of, the studio is a place to kind of, you know, fulfill your vision of what that song should be. You know, I think that, you know, like the live part, just worry about that later. And I've seen bands that have like just immense amounts of layers, and then just the energy live, just you don't worry about those things that you're not hearing or if they're pumped in or whatever. So I think just the live show can be its own thing. But in the studio, we've always kind of liked to imagine something a little different, basically. And I think, and some of those songs are pretty, the more basic songs, like the rock songs that we had already discussed, the guitar parts, but guitar songs. But the other stuff with a lot of the synth and piano, that's there's a lot more room to develop from there. So
add little parts to it and things like that. Because like Reset, in my mind, like the bass is like highly compressed. You know, it has that click at the beginning of it. Andy's got almost that whispering shadow voice going over it, I feel like, on Beams for Reset. You know what I'm talking about? Mm-hmm. Where there's just, yeah, that's, I guess, the studio aspect.
Yeah. I've seen a lot of bands who try to perfectly recreate a studio recording in a live setting through, like, samples and computers, or just bringing, like, just crap loads of musicians on stage. And people who aren't actually like a part of the creative process, they're just like guns for hire. And to me, it usually falls a little flat. So I like to see a band that puts out the song that you want to hear, but then plays it the way they wrote it, or plays it the way that they have reinterpreted it live. And that's always kind of what we've tried to do. So when we play the song, it doesn't sound identical. Even some of those other songs, I mean, they don't sound exactly to the T the way that they sound on the album. But they still have gusto and power and emotion behind them. And that's, I think, what makes a good band for me.
Yeah. I think that's kind of what draws people into a lot of those, like, jam band too. Like, you know, Dave Matthews or whatever, you know, and that. And
who?
Yeah, that guy.
don't mention jam band.
Dave Matthews.
Yeah, right. but, you know, people want to, the record, they can listen to the record, you know, so it's like, but they come for the live show because it's something, you know, unique and stuff, so.
Yeah. I don't think, we're not playing our songs, like, differently than the way we wrote them. We're playing them exactly to the T the way we wrote them, but the end result of the album, the way you hear it, is what we want you to hear on a recorded piece of music. But the way we play is the way we want you to hear it live.
Yeah, that's where the energy and the interaction takes over.
Right, sure.
And we're not in the studio trying to make it sound like totally cool, man, or like totally awesome. We're putting out what we hear on a CD or a record or whatever you want to call it. And then we're playing it live the way that we want to play it as a band.
But now we're switching. We were just previously a four piece. Now we're back down to a three piece. So we're most of this year, we've been actually working on recreating these songs as a three piece now, and trying to fill them out and make it so parts aren't missed. So figuring out what we can do where and what we can add and what we don't need, mm-hmm. basically now, you know, so.
Since Andy does, like you said earlier in the beginning of the show, like everything else, you know, there's so many parts that he's responsible for now that it's almost just, it's got to be overwhelming. And yeah, what do you leave out? What has to be in there to make it sound?
Well, now I'm using a sampler pad, which I've never done in the past. So that will enable us to actually incorporate some of these other sounds and things like that. Would free up another hand for Andy or Joe or whatever. So
yeah.
But we're not playing along to click tracks, and
not yet.
It drives me insane though when you see bands playing along to click tracks, and it's like 50% of what you're hearing is just a pre-recorded song from the album. I mean, to me, it just, that's band karaoke,
right.
And I didn't pay to watch somebody band karaoke.
Well, that happens.
I paid to watch people play I mean, and show us what they do.
That's like a norm for live music.
I know, it's insufferable.
Some now.
A lot of more popular stuff, let's say.
Which is why we're not at those shows.
Right. First time I saw Flaming Lips do that back in the late 90s, and they did it. That was the first band I ever saw do it, when they did their headphone tour on, God, what album was that? But it was, you know, and I'm like, he's not even playing drums. What's going on? There was no drummer, you know? Like, this is ridiculous, so... But they seem to make it work.
Right.
I mean, they were doing that, I think, just to kind of experiment. And
definitely that.
And maybe we get to that point way down the road. Right now, we're just trying to fill in, like, the background noise, whether it's on Mind Over Matter or
yeah, it's nothing key, something. Right? Yeah. Exactly. Nothing that people it's are going to miss either. Seeing performed yeah. live.
Or, like, there's that entire part, and that's just because he hit a button 3 minutes ago when the song started.
Right. Yeah. Well, Bukets, like I said, you'll have free copies available at the party on October 19th. And I'm guessing soon after that, it'll be online and stuff available for purchase. Or what's going on there?
We don't really have a plan on that, but yeah. But, it's online right now.
It's available for
actually,
download right
yeah.
now.
You can go buy it right now. Yeah. So yeah, it's available right now to buy, but the real... grand revelation will be at the show at the library, and everybody gets a free copy of the album with a free download code.
Yeah, I Bandcamp, they can it's available for purchase there, and
mm-hmm. yep.
Is it on iTunes and all that stuff?
Too? iTunes, Spotify, yeah. Places where all music is right. found.
All music,
yes,
yeah. So get a hold of that, grab a copy, and then again, physical copies available. At the party, along with a download code and all that fun stuff. And
a sticker.
Yeah.
And we'll have we also have shirts. We've made some really, really nice shirts. They're very high-quality fabric and everything. American Apparel.
They have ruffles.
Yeah.
This is pirate shirts, yes.
They have one of those flowers on it where you, like, squeeze the little bucket and it squirts water out of it.
How cool would that be?
Clown shirt.
Yeah. Squirts beer
out of the teat. but we have a couple different various shirts we'll have for sale at the show for very reasonable prices, and then we've got all of our old previous catalog available for sale as well at the show. So we'll have a lot of cool merch, and then we'll have the new album. Obviously, everybody gets a free CD when they walk in the door.
Nice.
Or walk out the door, depending on how they're feeling about the music.
So. And you can follow along on we got Facebook and. Do you have Instagram or any of that stuff, too?
Yeah, Twitter. Yeah. Instagram's blank right now, but we'll have some stuff on there pretty soon in the next few days.
Right.
Well, actually, it'll already be there by the time. Right. As you're listening to this, it is on Instagram.
Yeah.
This is live as you listen.
Right.
But yeah, the show, don't forget, Thursday, October 19th at 7 o'clock
yeah.
is the show.
7 o'clock sharp.
Sharp.
Yep. Yeah, that's going to be exciting. I'm going to see what I can do about work. And so I can be available.
If there's more incentive, we'll probably bring a cooler with some beer and some wine and give some drinks out to people, too, as they come in the door.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, there's going to be tons
right,
of people.
Yeah, right, yeah. Oh, yeah, we're here for the beer.
Yeah. We heard there was free beer at the show. Vintage Vinyl does it that way.
They do it at gallery openings, man.
They do it.
They just tell us to turn it down.
Yeah.
I think there was like
yeah.
trying to talk.
The here. Decibel meters here. They're over 35.
We're trying to play.
Yeah. Well, very cool, guys. I appreciate you taking some time out to hang and talk about this record. And hopefully I'll see you boys the 19th.
And awesome.
I'm gonna try my best. Come party with you guys, and I want to check out the space too. I'm excited to see this because. I'm always up for a new good venue in town, so I haven't been over there. I'm always one of my favorite things is kind of go in something new and kind of test it out, the different sounds, the acoustics and everything of it all. And,
oh, yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah, excited to take it all in. So, but, yeah, thank you, guys.
We'll bring
you
a bottle.
Thank you.
Bring you a bottle of water.
Yeah.
We might even have water.
Yeah.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Thanks, guys.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Well, yeah, that was it.